morning, everyone. Could I ask you to please stand for the reading of the Word of God this morning?
Thank you, everyone.
Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 39. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestinated, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or peril, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Wasn't that done beautifully? Sure was. Before I get into the message, just very quickly, there's some people I'd like you to keep in your thoughts. Actually, let me back up. I want you to keep them in your prayers. So we have Holly Server's mother passed away about a week and a half or so ago. Be praying for Holly and her family. And then Tracy Denny, one of our faithful worshipers up here. Trish Denny, I'm sorry. I saw Trace. I see T. I see T-R. I see Tracy. That's what I deal with. Trish Denny, her dad passed away this past week. Keep her in your prayers. Give them an encouraging word, an uplifting word when you see them. Amy Mandage lost her sister. So be praying for the Mandage family, Amy and Matt. And then Jordan Arcan, little baby, had a little issue with his eyes. Some chemicals got into his eyes, and they're very concerned about whether their child is going to be blind or not. We know he's not going to be blind. He's going to be made well. So we just be praying for little Jordan Arcan. Pray those for those people in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Living life in the Spirit. What a great, great title for us to use today. Through the passage that Ralph just read to us, I would bet that a good majority of you have heard or found your favorite scriptures in that passage. There's about six of them that jump out at us that we use quite frequently. This is a powerful chapter, so I'm going to ask you to bear with me as we go with it. I'm going to ask you to get excited about the Word of God. But before I get into the Word, I think it's very important that I set, I need to do a little precursor here that I believe pulls this whole thing together in a good way. Because if the two scriptures that I read now don't happen, then Romans is just a nice, colorful, encouraging book. But when we go to Romans 8:11, it says, "But the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." And then in 1 Corinthians 15:12, it says, "Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty. And your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God. because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up. If, in fact, the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen, and if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins, then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If, in this life only, we have hope in Christ, we are all men most pitiable. The resurrection is the foundation of our faith. Everything about our faith is rooted in the resurrection of Christ. If Christ did not rise, we have a good congregation of nice people who get together on Sundays, on Wednesdays, on Thursdays, and it's a nice thing. But we are to be pitied. We believe that he rose again. We sang it in our first song today, in our foundations of our faith. Yes, he is risen. In about 3 months from now, we'll celebrate that in a pretty cool way. He is risen, and he is risen indeed, and that is the foundation of everything that makes this book and this chapter in Romans so amazing. First thing I want to share with you is the first line in Romans 8:1. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." If you are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation that comes to you. All right, I'll give you a little bit of support to that because that's a powerful thing. Some of us feel we're still condemned because God forgives others, but not us. That may be a prevailing thought in this room. No, he did forgive you. Don't diminish the work he did on the cross. Don't diminish the great thing he did for us. Don't make him smaller than who he is. If he says you're forgiven, you are forgiven. Now, be about the business of forgiving yourself and understanding this truth. Okay, if you are in him, there is no condemnation to you. John 3:17 said, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved." That's why he came. He did not come to condemn. He came to save. Why? Because the world was already condemned. He came in knowing we were all lost. He came in knowing that there wasn't one going to the Father. There was not one that was on their way to heaven. And he came to remedy that. Thank you, Jesus. In this chapter, we're going to speak a lot about the flesh and the spirit. Wow, it's so powerful, and you heard it read here. The flesh in man profits nothing. Life is in the spirit. It says that in the book of John. Okay, John is a gospel writer. He was in the inner circle of Jesus. Paul restates that in great detail as he goes through talking about the flesh and where we war. How many people remember Flip Wilson? This crowd, there should be a lot. Okay. Wilson would always dress up as, he's kind of like the old-fashioned Maida. Geraldine, yes. And his prominent line was that the devil made me do it. And everything he did wrong or everything that went wrong and his part in it was, the devil made me do it. And he would be emphatic about it, and it was funny, and it lasted for a whole good generation of people who enjoyed that line. You can blame the devil, and I've heard it before. And frankly, it's a little distasteful for us to always blame the devil when we war with flesh. And that's what it's talking here. It is us. The devil made me do it is an excuse that we seem to use to relieve ourselves of the responsibility of our actions, of our sin. And saying the devil made me do it doesn't relieve me of anything. Because God tells us that we war against him. We war against a world system that's under him. But we war against our flesh. And maybe the greatest thing we war against is our flesh. Why does God tell us not to judge each other? Because even though we are not condemned anymore, we don't need to be judged. The judge has set us free. We're not there trying to bring each other back down because they did this wrong, that wrong, or this wrong. He wants us to take an inward look at ourselves. We judge ourselves. That's what he does. He says, judge yourself. Look at your own, look into your own eye. Don't look at your brother's. Look at your own station in life and how did you get to this place? Look at the consequences that you've suffered in life and stop blaming others for that thing. My guess is, for most of us, we have battled our flesh poorly. I have. My flesh is one competitive beast. And he's stubborn. And he fights me every step of the way. One of the beautiful things about this fast that we're doing is it brings us to a place where we go head to head with our flesh. And that's not the goal. The goal is to hear from God. But the byproduct is we're dealing with our flesh. John 6:63 says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. That wasn't John speaking there. I'm sorry. That was in his book. That was Jesus' words. Spirit and life. There is no condemnation to you. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Thank you, Jesus. We should be doing cartwheels every time we come in here. Because it is such a big deal is what he's done for us. We don't really always see the gravity of what he's done because we see what's in front of us. And he's going to bring us to a place of hope where it's by faith and not by sight, because by sight it means nothing. So we can't look at the things in front of us. We have to hope beyond those things in this world. And we have to look at what has done. Look at that. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes on him. Look at him. Don't look at the clutter in front of us. Crucify your flesh. You know, if you must. Which he asks us to do. Verse 3 says, Verse 3 says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sins. He condemned sin in the flesh. Flesh and blood does not inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh cannot earn its way to heaven. I don't care how good you are, you cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven by the good things that you do. Don't get caught up in trying to be so good because you're earning something that Christ has already done for you. When we try to do that with that motive, we're saying, Jesus, what you did wasn't enough. And Paul go on, and we've talked about this before, but because of that, do we continue going on sinning? No. We don't continue sinning. We become a light for people. We become holy, separate from the world system to have an impact on a world system. Holy sticks out. Live holy. Not because it's going to get you to heaven quicker or better or higher plane. Live holy because it affects people here. Christ is holy. He brings us to heaven. We have to know that it's what he did, not what we did. And by the way, well, I made a decision to follow him. You know why you made that decision? Because the Spirit of God touched your heart. The Spirit of God pointed you to Christ. And it's what the Spirit of God did even in my own decision for Jesus. In me there is no good thing. In my flesh there is no good thing. And don't say I'm beating you up because I'm beating the whole world up because that's all of us. In my flesh there's no good thing. I don't care who you are. Thank you, Jesus. The righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So, okay, we don't do these things to earn great favor. We do them out of an obedient heart and a love for God and to have an impact on people. We are about the business of dying to ourselves, is what this is all about. Our flesh is, yes, it's our fleshly body, but it's also our nature, our human nature. It's the way we operate. Now, when I come to Christ, I have been set free from the penalty of death and sin that the flesh brings me. I've set free from that. That doesn't mean I don't still war with it. I still war with my flesh. If you think you don't war with your flesh, I think you're in denial. I war with my flesh on a regular basis. I love Jesus. He saved my soul. I know that there is no other way to the Father but through Him. There is no other way to the Father but by Him. It's what He did for me. Thank you, Jesus. But those who live according to the flesh set their minds in the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What's the big deal? Well, the big deal is, for carnality to be minded is death. When we think on things of the flesh, and that's where we live, and we're not thinking on things of the Spirit, it's an it should be an identifier for us of where we stand in Christ. Later in the Scripture, it says that the Spirit of God testifies with my spirit that I am a child of God. I'll get to that in a little bit. A little bit. Thank you, Jesus. When you think on spiritual things, and when I say spiritual, I'm not talking any kind of a New Age spirituality or something apart from the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit and what He is planting in you. When before the service, when we had people just listen, this is what I'm talking about. Think on the things that God is speaking to you. And be clear who God is. God is the Father. Abba, Father. We'll hear about that in a second. God, the Holy Spirit, He is the Spirit that speaks to our minds and points us always to Christ. And God, the Son, who lays His life down for you and me. Think on that. Think on those things. Don't think on world things. Like, my debt is increasing. Oh no, what am I going to do? That's thinking on fleshly things. I'm not accepted. I feel depressed. I feel so alone. That is worldly things. And they're very difficult to deal with. That's why we come together as a body. That's why we come on, you know, Wednesday to life groups or whatever day you have life groups. That's why we come together. That's why we go on Thursday nights. Why? Because there's other people that feel the same thing and you can unite together. And it's the opposite of what our country's doing. It eradicates division and it brings about a unity. That's part of our mission, to grow in this community because there's strength in it. There's encouragement in it. There's uplifting in it. There's building up. There's sharing Christ with each other. Thank you for that, Jesus. Romans 8:8 says, So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We all got the idea about the flesh? It's good, man. Still working on it myself. All right. Thank you, Jesus. And then I read the verse from Romans 11. Thank you for that, Lord. He says, in Romans 11, he says, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. I'm just going to share two scriptures with you and talk about it, and then we'll move on to the next point. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, you hear this read at lots of funerals. It says, For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. What great words! Those who have preceded us in death, those who have died, who are in Christ, will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And how are they, what's it going to look like? Is it just going to be their spirit going up there? Well, let me tell you what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. That's our flesh, and that's where it leads us, is to corruption. That's what's in us. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is. The first Adam became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. The last Adam, by the way, when you hear that, they're talking about Christ. The first Adam is out of the flesh. The second Adam is by the Spirit of God. Is God. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural. That's us. The natural came before the spiritual. When you were born with a... What am I looking for? Your heart? Sinful would work. Is there a better one? Huh? No, the opposite of that. Watch your grandkids go after each other once, and you'll see our hearts are wicked. Genuinely wicked. The people that know this best are parents with young children. We look at them, and they're so adorable. You could just kiss cheeks, pinch them, squeeze them, wrestle with them. They're so much fun, but they can turn like a switch, and they can come after you with weapons, toys, selfishness. That's the heart that we're born with. Nobody taught them to be that way. They did that on their own. Look at their parents. Beautiful people. Teaching them, Jesus loves me, this I know. I mean, good parents. They go to church 4 times a month, not twice. They love each other. They love their kids. They feed them. They take care of them. They hug them. They cuddle them. They watch out for them. No, kids do all this on their own, just like we did. Just like our parents did. So, the physical always comes first. The natural comes first. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural. And after the spiritual, and afterwards the spiritual. What's that spiritual body like? So we have to go back to the book of John where it talks about Jesus after the resurrection. And he meets up with the disciples. And he comes with a body of sorts. Right? He's not like invisible here. When he comes back with a body that you can actually touch. And I think as an accommodation to us, his happens to have scars in his hands and in his side. What a beautiful picture of what he had done for us. But he walked the walls. He appeared to the men on the road to Emmaus. That's the kind of body we'll have. But he also ate food. I believe that's the kind of body. And by the way, there's some scholars out here that might challenge me on that. I'm happy to talk about it. I might learn something. But I'm saying it as I believe it is. And I would say it for the statements I just made, study up on that. Thank you, Jesus. Second thing, and this is a big deal. When we come to Christ, everything changes. Our identity changes. And we cannot make light of our identity changing. I am no longer who I was in the flesh. I am now changed. I am different. I have a spirit that is testified by the Spirit of God that I am a child of God. And if I am a child of God, that gives me a position of sorts. Actually, it gives me a position of the greatest order. I am a child of God. I'm going to read some things to you, and I'm going to share a thought with you. Verse 13 says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but according to the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And that's a small s. We never are divine. Okay, it's a small s. Which means we're just sons of God. Not like the Son of God, who's Jesus. Yep, we're sons of God. By the way, that's a gender-neutral term here. You're daughters of God. Just the same. I thank God for it. Verse 15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. So remember, you got to believe that you were saved, that you are now a child of God. We don't live in fear about that issue. Some faiths do because they don't see the fullness of what God has done for us. But instead, you receive the spirit of adoption. So we were adopted in. Another place in Romans, it says we're grafted in. That's why we're known as the true, we're true Israelites, to be honest with you. We're Jews, spiritually. We've been adopted, grafted in. Well, this is adopted into the family of God. By whom we cry, Abba, Father. That word Abba is like daddy. Father. He is now, we've always said Heavenly Father, and that's true, but now it gets relational, it gets personal. He's my Abba Father. I can say that, but people who are still living in condemnation because they haven't received Christ can't say that. The Spirit Himself bears witness, this is what I shared before, with our spirits that we are children of God. I'm a child of God. And if children, then heirs. We just got more position. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That is so powerful about the position we have when we are in Christ. We are family. Jesus is my brother. I'm a joint heir with Him. Though He is always divine, I am His child. I'm not divine. In my house, I'm the authority. It's not a big, I'm not making a big deal of myself, but I'm the authority in my house. My kids do what I say in my house. They're my children, and they have position being my children. They don't call the shots. I call the shots. I guess I am getting a little puffed up here. I thought I called the shots. Okay, but you get my point, right? That's enough. That's flesh talking. That's right. Did you hear that? She said that's a flesh talking. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Do you know that you're a child of God? Do you know that you have position? Do you know that you're an heir, joint heir with Christ? We need to know those things. You know why we need to know those things? Because when it slips from our mind, we begin to think of worldly things that scare us and frighten us and hinder us from growing in Him. But if we keep our minds on the things that we're talking about right now, we keep our minds on Christ, we don't slip and fall, we are encouraged by who we are in Him. How does that happen? It happens by being here on Sundays. It happens by being back there for those that really embrace relationship on Thursdays. It means by being in life groups. See the direction where we're going as a church? We're seeing how we're trying to foster community? That's what we're trying to do. Because in it is encouragement, uplifting, and blessing. And knowing who we belong to is greater than the things that come against us in this world. That's what we have to know. We stand with the One who is greater than anything comes against us. There is no condemnation. We are sons and daughters with God. We are family with God. But there's suffering that comes with it. We can go to the extreme cases of missionaries going to third world countries. We heard of one just about 6 months ago about a guy who went to an island that was uninhabited by anybody other than this one particular group, and he lost his life, and his desire was to give him the gospel. That's suffering. We join Christ in His suffering. I don't like suffering at all, but I join Him in it. I got a picture at a funeral I went to by a Lutheran pastor, and it was amazing. The way he came across with the message that part of the suffering is we join each other in their suffering. So when you go to a funeral and there are people grieving, we just pray for four people going through some really tough things here. And we come to the place and we connect with them at the hardest time to connect. What we're doing is we're joining them in their suffering. So the man who died that they were doing the funeral for, I know who he is. I had a minimal relationship with him. Yet during the service, I'm weeping. And then he goes on and says these words. We do this because we are joining in the suffering with the family that's hurting. And it all made sense to me. together, because we do have pain and hurt in this life. Just stuff comes at us. We're at war. But when we come together, we join each other in these things, and then we lift each other up. And I want to be really clear about this. We don't wallow in it. I got this from another brother from my life group. We don't just recycle and recirculate in our brokenness. No. We work our way through it. And we bring others along and help them through it. I don't wallow in my mess. I want to get out of my mess. And sometimes I need help to get out of my mess. Sometimes my faith is so weak, I need the help of human beings to help me get out of my mess. My faith grows. Why do we have a prayer area over here? They want to join you in your situation so they can pray for you and help you get out of your mess. Help me get out of my mess. I went over there to get prayer for family, and it was 2 seconds, and I'm weeping. Why? Because I felt that they joined me right where I was at. Thank you, Jesus. That happens every Thursday, by the way. Joining people in their mess and helping them the best way we know how to get out of their mess. And by the way, in the end, whatever we do it as led by the Spirit of God, because it is the Spirit of God that delivers us from those things. But He does it in His time and His will, because in the process, He is attempting to do something. All things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purposes. He is growing. When I'm in my mess, I'm crying out. I need help. I'm helpless a lot of times. In my mess, oh God, help me in this. You know, I don't want to be in that place. And sometimes I have a brother who puts his hand on my shoulder, prays for me, helps me. Or sometimes I have a sisters who are praying all the time. This place is amazing with the sisters that lift up the name of Jesus and call upon His name on my family's behalf. I shouldn't have said that because I forgot what I was going to tell you. Thank you, Jesus. When we suffer in the name of Christ, when we suffer for the name of Christ, when we suffer as though we were children of God, we join God in His suffering, and we will eventually join Him in His glory. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but it makes all the sense in the world to me concerning suffering. If you have a life that's actually pretty decent and there's no suffering going on, I remember that part of that life. And it was before I came to Christ. Things were going, and I came from a pretty broken place. My family was poor. But I came from a relatively broken place, but you know what? I was pretty much a pretty happy person. Sally, before I came to Christ, married somebody who was happy. I mean, I went to church, I believed in God and all that stuff, but there was no faith, really, of any consequence. But I was happy. Things would come at me and I'd deflect them. I'd be slick. I'd find ways to miss the brunt of it. But when I became a Christian, and especially one who I believe the Spirit of God has always prompted me to move and say something, all of a sudden things got harder. And they got harder on different planes. I would argue with teachers because I was a new Christian. I would feel frustration and anger and even rage sometimes at the direction I saw a global world system going. And I could feel some of those things. And then I felt attacks coming at me directly from family members who weren't yet quite in that place. Yeah, things change when you come to Christ. This is no easy road. It is the right road. It is the best road. It is the one that leads to heaven. But I will go through, you will go through sufferings when we begin to proclaim His name and join Him in the work that He's doing. You will have things come against you. But fear not. Because those things never, ever separate us. Nothing separates us from the love of God. You heard that in the reading today. Nothing. What things shall try? Things will try to separate you from God. Nothing. when you die in Him, and your heart is right before Him, and you're about His business, which means you're always thinking on things of God, things of the Spirit, not things of yourself or the flesh, you're in Him, you're in a good place. Because it's not going to conquer you. And in the process, He grows you. He builds perseverance in you. He strengthens you. Little things that used to crumble you no longer have an impact on you. He matures you. He sanctifies you by His Word, but also by the things you went through where you had to lean on His Word and His Spirit to get through those things. Sometimes you have to lean on the brothers and sisters in Christ to get through those things. Amen. Amen. There's a lot more there. You don't really go through chapter 8 in one sitting. We'll feed on this again at another time. There's a lot to digest there. We're going to take communion as a body. It's a way that we honor what Christ has done for us that we never forget. But today, it's also an encouragement for those. This will be our last meal before we start our fast. And then in 21 days, we'll take communion again to break our fast. Because I just think it's just so cool. And I think it's amazing. So if the ushers could lead the people back for communion. Before you leave your seats, though, I just want to say who's welcome to take communion here. If Jesus Christ is your Lord, and He's your Savior, you know that you're no longer condemned because of what He did for you, and you've accepted that. You've given your sin to Him. That means you're a child of God. Today, communion, and every day, communion is for children of God. If you don't know and you're not sure, as a congregation, we'll pray with you, and we can take care of that right now. It's basically you're saying, yes, I am a sinner. I am condemned. I don't want to be condemned anymore. I want salvation from condemnation. I want to be saved. I want to be with Christ. And I want Him to be my Lord. Is there anybody here that wants to do that today?